The FAA administrator says Hudson River VFR procedures will get a fresh look. Customers of an Oregon prop rebuilder are urged to get a second opinion. And NTSB wants the FAA to screen pilots for sleep apnea. This is Aero News. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for downloading this AeroCast. Here's what's up in aviation for Monday, August 17, 2009. FAA Administrator Randy Babbitt has told the Associated Press that his agency will look into changes in rules governing use of the Hudson River VFR corridor following that August 8th midair between a Piper Saratoga and an AS-350 tour helicopter. Babbitt added that while any National Transportation Safety Board recommendations will be taken into consideration following the conclusion of the investigation, the FAA will institute rule changes whenever they are deemed necessary. On Friday, the FAA convened a New York Airspace Working Group to review procedures in the corridor. The group is to report back to Babbitt within 2 weeks. A notice to airmen posted last week calls on pilots flying the corridor to keep their aircraft lighted for maximum visibility, use correct radio frequencies, announce their entry into the airspace, and keep speeds to 140 knots or less. The FAA has issued a special airworthiness information bulletin to anyone with a propeller or prop components repaired, inspected, or overhauled by Western Aircraft Propeller Service of Troutdale, Oregon. The FAA says the owner of a Beechcraft Baron E-55 complained that his two Hartzell props were not properly overhauled, and a focused repair station facility inspection by the Portland FISDO found some issues. Specifically, the FAA alleges the use of unapproved procedures, coatings, and adhesives, equipment calibrations and employee training that were not current, and other problems. Find the whole report, dated August 16th, at aero-news.net. The agency wants all operators who've had props serviced by Western to get them independently inspected and report any nonconformities. The NTSB is calling on the FAA to start screening for OSA, obstructive sleep apnea, as part of medical exams. The recommendation stems from the infamous Go Airlines flight, in which both the captain and the first officer fell asleep, causing the plane to overshoot its destination and travel 26 miles out to sea before the increasingly urgent calls from controllers woke the crew. In the captain's case, it was learned he had an undiagnosed case of OSA. The board notes that all other federal agencies that oversee passenger transportation either gather or plan to gather subjective information specific to OSA from transportation operators. The FAA-mandated exams do check height, weight, and blood pressure, which can be analyzed to spot pilots at increased risk for OSA. The NTSB release isn't clear on whether it wants screenings extended to third-class medicals. If the day ever comes that pilots who snore can't pass their third, watch for a sudden boom in LSA sales. Up next on ANN, Dreamliner fuselage production is shut down at Alenia Aeronautica. Boeing pays $25 million to settle a claim of shoddy work on KC-10s. And Britain extends a loan to Airbus to finish the A350. You're listening to Aero News.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC-700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3020.
We're back with more of your Aero Briefing for August 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Boeing is confirming that it's dealing with a work stoppage at the plant of an Italian supplier to the Dreamliner program, but this one has nothing to do with a union. The company confirms that a production flaw in Dreamliner fuselage sections detected at the Alenia Aeronautica plant in Naples caused an order to stop production on June 23rd. Structural weakness in composite fuselage sections could cause a wrinkling of the material that could lead to significant degradation if left unrepaired. The defect was responsible for the scrubbing of the planned late June first flight of the Dreamliner. With the eyes of the world on a Dreamliner program already more than 2 years behind schedule, Boeing spokeswoman Lori Gunter told the Wall Street Journal the problem will affect neither the schedule nor the plane's cost. Quote, "After a thorough review, we found only two locations on each airplane that needed to be strengthened with a fairly simple patch. A modification needed to accommodate these findings is already designed and being installed, unquote. Boeing has settled allegations of defective work and overcharges related to the U.S. Air Force's KC-10 tanker fleet. The company will pay over $18.4 million and provide another $6.6 million in work at no cost to remedy what the government says were shoddy workmanship and inflated hourly rates. The work involved insulation blanket kits applied to the inside of the planes to help maintain inside temperatures at altitude, reduce interior noise levels, and prevent corrosion-causing condensation on the inside of the fuselage. Two whistleblowers will share $2.6 million as their share of the proceeds of the settlement. The settlement resolves Boeing's potential liability under the False Claims Act. Tony West, Assistant Attorney General for the Justice Department's Civil Division, commented, quote, "The Department of Justice will vigorously pursue cases under the False Claims Act against those contractors who provide shoddy work," unquote. Britain agreed on Friday to lend Airbus 394 million euros, that's equivalent to $563 million U.S., to develop the A350 XWB. The plane is designed to compete with Boeing's 787 Dreamliner, and Airbus claims it will have significantly better economics. The A350 is expected to reach its first customers in 2013. That's 2 to 3 years behind the Dreamliner. Airbus says the loan from the Brits will create or preserve 1,200 jobs at its plants in the U.K., and another 5,000 indirectly at its suppliers. Still ahead, Republic is the winner in bidding for Frontier Airlines. The IAM wants approval to start organizing Delta employees. And what's the fun in owning a piston twin that doesn't need a pilot? You're listening to Aero News.
Uncramp your style in a new Citation CJ2 Plus from Cessna. Now with integrated ProLine 21 avionics, FADEC, and a restyled cockpit and cabin. In the CJ2 Plus, you'll carry more payload than you could in the original CJ2. You'll climb and cruise faster. You'll have the freedom to use even shorter runways, and you'll do it all on less fuel. For a sure thing, call 1-800-4-CESSNA.
We're back to wrap up your Aero Briefing for Monday, August 17th. I'm Paul Plack. Despite what looked like a very strong offer from Southwest Airlines, Republic Airways Holdings has been declared the winning bidder in the auction to acquire bankrupt Frontier Airlines Holdings. Southwest's July 30th offer was for about $170 million, compared to Republic's roughly $109 million, but had among its conditions an agreement on seniority and other integration issues representing Southwest and Frontier. That didn't happen, and Southwest said its culture and relationships with its employees are too important to compromise. Southwest Chairman Gary Kelly commented, quote, "We were fortunate to be in a position to examine the acquisition to see if it was the right decision for Southwest Airlines. We chose not to amend our bid to remove the labor requirement, a key reason our bid was not selected. Our congratulations to Republic Airways and Frontier Airlines," unquote. Having a heavyweight second bidder did play in Frontier's favor. Republic waived virtually all conditions precedent to closing, including distributions on its $150 million pre-petition unsecured claim. That's expected to result in a 94% increase in the distribution to Frontier's general unsecured creditors. The International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers is trying to convince the U.S. National Mediation Board that Delta's acquisition of Northwest has proceeded to the point they are essentially one airline, and it's time to let the union make its case to represent 12,700 previously non-union Delta Fleet Service, Flight Simulator Technician, and Plant Protection employees. IAM General VP Robert Roach insists, quote, "The airline's bankruptcies were extremely difficult for employees and their families. The Machinists Union can help these workers regain what was taken in bankruptcy and protect them as Delta navigates through a turbulent industry," unquote. The attempt to clear the way for union certification elections doesn't necessarily guarantee IAM a bunch of new dues-paying members from Delta. If a combined employee unit votes against union representation, the union could lose the members it has at the former Northwest Airlines. And finally today, Aurora Flight Sciences has found a way to increase the already exceptional range of the Diamond DA42M turbodiesel twin, which has an endurance of up to 17 hours carrying two occupants. How do they do it? Get rid of the two occupants. The company says its OPV, or optionally piloted vehicle version of the plane, can carry a 100-pound payload aloft for 26 hours. So what's the point of flying a piston twin with no people on board? Well, Aurora says the plane could be ferried by humans through normal airspace to a remote location, carrying its compact ground remote control unit in its existing baggage space. It could then perform unmanned missions in areas too dangerous to send humans, with long loiter times and capabilities to 25,000 feet or higher. The company says it could start deliveries in next year's third quarter if it finds customers. That's the latest from Aero News. Remember to check out the ANN special feature. Today, CFI Bob Miller of Over the Airwaves regularly flies the Hudson River VFR corridor. We'll discuss his thoughts on calls for changes in the procedures there. And if you haven't done it yet, subscribe to our Aerocasts at iTunes, Odeo, or at aero-news.net. I'm Paul Plack. Thanks for listening. Have a clear and unlimited day.